John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. Let's pray. Father, it all begins and it all ends with you. So forgive us for ever believing the lie that anyone or anything else was more important than you. Establish your kingdom and your love and your authority in our hearts. We love you. We want nothing more than to know you better. We were just singing, I want to be close to you. Mark us as yours with the presence of your Holy Spirit. Change us. Set us apart for yourself. And let miracles of your grace take place in our lives because of what Jesus has accomplished. In the name of our Savior and the King of Kings, Jesus, and everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. All right. Well, summer is just about over, and all the parents said. And all y'all with high air conditioning bills said, right? It's kind of crazy. But, you know, it's the time of the year when people are thinking about taking trips. That's why I have this piece of luggage here. People are thinking about taking trips, right? You're going to get out of town for a few days, get your family together, create some memories that you'll laugh about forever. See, the funny part is, when we go on a trip, we actually don't talk as much about the place we went to as all the stuff that went wrong on the way there or the way back, right? That's the best part of the trip. Not all the money you spent on the food or whatever you did with that, but it was all the stuff that happened, right, that made great stories. And when somebody does something ridiculous, right, you know what I'm talking about, right? Your family is like the same as my family. There's no difference here. How many of you were here, speaking of trips, on the Sunday when Pastor was talking about a trip to Connecticut? See, Pastor's sister, my Auntie Joan, she passed, right? And he went out there for the celebration of life. Do you remember when he was telling about that story? Attendance check. Were you here? Now, you know you were here because he told the story where he forgot his pants. Okay. And that's the stuff you actually have nightmares about, right? You're going to go stand up in front of people, right? No pants, right? So for if you weren't here, that is definitely a must-purchase CD. Go out after the service, get about it, hear about it, love it. But see, there's another part of that family trip that didn't make it into the story. He left it out, and because I have the pulpit this morning. Oh, yes. There's more to the story. There's always more to the story, right? How many late-night Packers have I got here in the room with me this morning? You wait till the night before. Yeah, okay, me too. And so it's the night before my sister and I are about to go out and meet them in Connecticut for this trip. We're scheduled to fly out. We're both at our own houses. We're getting ready for the trip. Mom and Dad are already in New Haven, right? And KJ, she's going to stay home with the kids, right? Because nothing fulfills my wife more than doing my laundry and taking care of the kids and making me sandwiches. No, last night it was the peach cobbler. That was awesome. Thank you, babe. That was good. No, my sister starts texting me, and she tells me about something unexpected, right, that we're going to have to take with us. And so I got the text messages. I'm going to share a couple here with you. So it goes like this. Just started packing. She says, are you checking luggage? I said, I just started packing. I think maybe yes, just because my shoes take up so much room. We get one free bag check, right? No, we don't. I found that out. Also, I heard nothing about where we're staying. She sends me a picture of her empty luggage. She said, I don't know where we're staying. I said, should I pack a tent? She laughs. Then she sends me this picture. Here, throw up the one with, the, yeah, okay. Now I get this picture with this big portrait over it. She says this. Hold on. I have a dilemma. Mom told me on Sunday, I'm in charge of bringing this. Guess what doesn't fit in my luggage? I said, we need another ticket just for that. She says, the Osceolas are traveling again. I said, facepalm. She says, if you don't have a carry-on, maybe you could carry it on. I said, sure, I'll just slide the life-size portrait under my seat. She says, it's actual size. I'm crying, laughing. I said, how are we going to carry that across the country? She said, Mom said, save the receipt. We'll return it when we get back. Yeah, let's do it twice. I said, it's got to be packed in a box and checked. That or we stick it in the bathroom with the occupied sign on it. She says, Mom just texted me to take an umbrella. I said, we don't need it. We could shelter under the portrait. I can't go on. She's like, where's the service? There's a bunch of stuff. We're trying to figure out what's happening. And then, I'll forward here. Go ahead and forward through a couple of those. And then she says, for real, you have to call. I said, for real, you have to call Mom and tell her we cannot take a glass frame on board the plane. TSA will flip out. Does Connecticut not have frame shops? She says, what if I wrap it like a present? I'm totally packed. She says, they'll let you take Christmas gifts on board. I said, yeah, this window pane, it's a gift. Is there a problem? What do you mean I can't put a sheet of glass in the overhead compartment? Hold it on my lap measurements. Okay, so we just decided at this point, look, it's coming with us, right? We're taking the portrait to Connecticut. We might as well have fun with it. So there we are. We're taking Annie Joan through TSA. We decided we're going to take pictures. This is going to be like Weekend at Bernie's. We're taking pictures of every moment that we got with Annie Joan on the trip. There's Annie Joan through the x-ray. Next slide. Annie Joan, we stopped for coffee, some Starbucks with Annie Joan. What's the next one? Yep, there we are. Next one. The whole family's getting this now. Okay, now she needs a handicap seat. Next one. we're there in Chicago. Next one, we're in O'Hare. Okay. Oh, she bathroom break with Annie Joan. All right. Next one. Oh, we got hungry. It's a long trip out to Connecticut. Next one. There we are. What's the next one? In the car. We are in the rental now. Okay. Next one. We made it to dinner. All right. We made it to dinner with Auntie Joan. Good times. And you know, my Auntie Joan would have cracked up at every moment with that. As far as that framed portrait was concerned, Michelle and I, we were the way, right, for that portrait. Now, the real Auntie Joan, she needed nothing from us whatsoever. She was with Jesus. She's got everything that she needs, right? But since Connecticut apparently was nuked and no longer has frame shops, there was only one way that oversized portrait was getting there. And the fact is that all of us are on a journey. Now, you might just be sitting still right now, but you're on a journey. Some of you had a journey just getting here this morning. Congratulations. But you made it, and you're still on a journey. And where is it that you're trying to get to? What is it that you're trying to achieve? What is it that you're looking forward to? Is it that better career, or to have no career, or you're trying to have kids, or you're trying to get your kids to move out, or you're trying to grow your business? Or you get a promotion, or get into a relationship, or get into a better relationship. Whatever it is that you're trying to get into, or get out of, or arrive at, Jesus is the way. Amen. He's the way. And the journey of our lives will culminate in one of two destinations. The two destinations boil down to this: with God, or without God. And the ultimate destination is not about streets of gold. It's not about the gates of pearl. It's not about the crowns. It's not about the white robes or the angels or any of the beautiful mansions. It's about a person. And we tend to think of journeys, you know, as getting from point A to point B and the distance between. But the way to a person is a person. In Jesus, there is no distance between you and God. Jesus eliminates all religions, all other spiritual leaders, all gurus. Jesus eliminates the occult, eliminates rituals, eliminates anything, everything that you might do or ever try to do to earn your way to God. And Jesus is telling us point blank, others will claim to show you truth. I am truth. Others will claim to enlighten you. I am the light of the world. Other things or people will claim to satisfy you. I am the bread that has come down from heaven. Others will give you religion, but I have come to give you relationship. And for some this morning, maybe this seems a little bit basic, like 101. But let me tell you why the Holy Spirit asked me to hit this point this morning. Because sadly, it is a popular notion, even for Christians, to believe that no matter what people call God, Allah or Buddha or Mother Earth, that it's all still God. It's all the great I am. That they're all just on a journey and it all just leads to God. That there are many different names and different ways to God. And statistically, that means that there's maybe somebody sitting in this room this morning or someone listening to this who probably believes that. When their friends come to them and say, well, I worship over at the Sikh temple, or I believe in karma, and they say, oh, well, you know, good for you. I'm glad you're seeking God in your own way. No! Jesus obliterates that ideology with one sentence. I am the way. And the only way to the Father is through me. So let me say it this way. There are many planets orbiting the sun, right? Go try and build a house on Neptune, see what happens. There is only one planet capable of sustaining life, and only Jesus can give you eternal life. Muhammad cannot get you to God. Buddha cannot get you to God. Krishna can get no one to God. And what's more, you cannot get you to God. He says, I am the only way to the Father. And the other reason is because, and so many of us know this, right? We believe that. We believe that Jesus is the way, and we have committed to the way. And that's why we're here this morning. But sometimes we say we're disciples of Jesus, but we're not pursuing his ways. And there's a difference. So let's talk about someone who was pursuing the ways of God. Exodus chapter 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh and announce to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go so they can come and worship me. And I love that translation because, you know, he uses the word announce. God's not asking, he's announcing, he's ordering, right? And we're talking this morning about God's ways, right? So look at it here. Here's one of his ways. Does God need to ask anyone for anything? But observe, he recognizes the authority of Pharaoh. He's giving Pharaoh an opportunity, right, to save his country, to collaborate, to be obedient. This is his way. See? God doesn't want to just immediately come into your life and just obliterate. No, he wants you to work with him. And when God is asking you to do something, it's not because he needs you to do something. God didn't need Pharaoh to give permission. God could have transplanted the Israelites into the place he prepared for them instantly. When God asks you something, he's giving you an opportunity to work with him, not against him. It's for your good. And God is saying here that the purpose of freedom is to worship him and to know him. He would, in fact, set them free and show them the way to a place to worship him. But was it only about real estate? Was it only about the land that we call Israel? Or was it about something more? If I was to ask you, what's our promised land? Where is Jesus leading us? You would probably say heaven, right? You think that we're headed to that destination, looking forward to that day of rejoicing, right? Where there's no more pain, no more tears or sickness or sin. But what if I told you that the best part of heaven is here with us now? And you're missing it because you keep waiting to enjoy it until you arrive at a destination. And I know this floor is not made of gold, right? Those doors are definitely not pearls. And although you look really pretty this morning, I don't see any angels here this morning. Look here. God told Moses, Pharaoh was to let his people go so they could what? Yeah. Live a life of luxury with no responsibilities or live on unlimited retirement. No, he destroyed an empire and gave all the wealth to the slaves, his people, in a matter of days for one reason, so that they could come and worship him. And where were they going to go do that? See, their eyes and their hearts were on a destination, a geographical location. But come, they had the presence of God with them all the way, that pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. The presence of Almighty God was already with them on the journey. The power of the great I am, the uncreated one, descended and hovered over them every minute, every day. And then God manifests more of his presence on the top of that mountain. And what did they do? Oh, Moses, you go all by yourself. We don't want to hear the voice of God. We'll die if we keep hearing God. No, God descended on power on that mountain, and he began to do what? He began to talk. And that's where intimacy begins. Intimacy is not about taking your clothes off and jumping in bed with somebody. Listen, you get intimate with a person when you begin to open up your heart, right? And you begin to talk and you begin to listen. Intimacy begins with a conversation. And God has always wanted intimacy with his people. He started with Adam, right? He makes Adam, and what does he do? He goes down every day to do what? To talk with him in the garden. See, the same God released you from bondage. He broke the power of the enemy in your life, and he brought you provision. He met needs you didn't even ask for, and he comes to you to talk. And what will you do? Israel said, save us, help us, be our God. But when he comes for a face-to-face meeting, they chickened out. And what they dreamt of for 400 years was finally with them, and they refused to draw near. Imagine being single for 400 years and you finally get married, right? And then you go on the honeymoon, but you refuse to talk to your partner, right? And then you go back. When you come back, you move back into your own apartment, refuse to live with your spouse. How's that going to work? We do the same thing if we talk about heaven, but don't enter into his presence in our worship. If we don't sit still and listen to him speak to us. When we allow ourselves to be filled with fear, terrified of truth or of honesty with God, we might fill our homes with songs about him or podcasts of our favorite preachers, but do we acknowledge his presence is with us in the small things that we do every day? He is here and he is with us. The one whose presence and power raises the dead and causes the seas to split and every knee to bow is with you and is with you wherever you go. Talk about regret. Getting to heaven and realize we could have been experiencing the greatest part of heaven now. We didn't have to wait. You think about how wonderful it's going to be to see Jesus and to walk with him and to hear his voice and to put your hand into his hand and feel that scar. I tell you, we've done all those things. I've experienced those moments of intimacy with him here. And guess what? I need them more here than I'm going to need them there. Right? And if you comb the Gospels, you will discover Jesus never puts it like this, I'm going to heaven now. No, he says, I'm going to the Father. Because there is no heaven without God. God is heaven. God is the best part, the only part of heaven. There are two destinations, with God, without God. And anything that you are trying to do right now without God, that's the wrong path. Can you say like Moses did, I don't want it if it's not you? Exodus 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt. I like that, right? You brought up, right? And go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people and I might destroy you on the way. When the people heard that, these distressing words, they began to mourn. See, this is total dad voice right here, right? I'm so ticked off right now. I just need to hashtag walk away, right, before somebody gets hurt. God made a promise to Abraham that his descendants would possess the land. God's people spent generations enslaved with no rights, no property, no hope, no freedom. And God uses Moses to deliver them from that. And they saw the miracles and the blood and the frogs and the flies and the darkness and all of it, the angel of death. They saw God split the ocean, walked on dry ground, and watched him drown the whole Egyptian military. They saw the fire of his glory and the thunder of his voice, but they complained over and over and over and over, and they tested his patience and his goodness until finally God got to the place where he said to Moses, look, you can have the promise, but you won't get my presence. I'm out. Imagine God coming to you and basically saying that thing that you've been praying for. You've been coming to me, you've been asking me, you've been pleading with me to do this in your life. I want you to know, you could have it. Have it. Have all of it. But you're not going to have me. You will never again feel my presence in your prayer or your worship. What would you choose? Exodus 33. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember, this nation is your people. And the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. And then Moses said, show me your glory. You see, Moses got it. See, he understood. God was not in the riches. He grew up in the Egyptian palace. He had lots of money, right? He had lots of stuff, didn't have God. Moses understood that God was not in stuff. And as the adopted grandson of the Pharaoh, Moses had power and authority and position, but he didn't have God. And Moses knew that God was not in the real estate because he was sitting on top of a wealth of land, but he didn't have God. And he knew you could give people land, you could give people power, you can give people lots of money, but the only way the world will know that we are blessed, the only way we can be truly blessed is if we have you, if we have your presence in us. Burn it all down, just come with us. That's all we need and all we want. God, give me a heart abandoned, ever after you, my Lord. Gold and silver, you can take it. All I want is you. See, this is a conversation that God has with every single person, right? And he's having that conversation with you. Do you love me? Or do you just want the stuff? Is there somewhere that you're trying to go or something you're trying to achieve or get or do, and you're willing to do it without Jesus, without involving him or honoring him in every step, then you've lost the way. And you're lost. And Jesus is more than a destination. He's more than that. He's a relationship. And that relationship is the journey now. And it is the destination that we will enjoy forever. Your relationship with Jesus will not suddenly and radically improve the moment that you show up in heaven. That starts now. He's the way. And he is the destination. See, God's given you some dreams, hasn't he? I know he has. He's given you ambitions and goals, and God may have even given you a word. He might have spoken to you about his will for your life. You see, it's one thing to get a revelation of God's will. It's another thing to get a revelation of his ways. You and I have spent countless hours, especially in our teens and our 20s, wringing our hands, praying to God, shouting to heaven, I just want to know what you want me to do with my life. Just come and tell me, what do you want? What's your will? Am I right? You remember those prayers? Tell me you prayed those last night. Okay. Just tell me what to do, right? And we waited in the silence, right, for that angel to show up. I'm sending you to Africa, or the voice of God to come and whisper to us, I go to this city and start this job and marry this person, right? No, in all reality, God was coming to us saying, do your homework, go to school, right? Be responsible. What about the little things that I put in front of you? Be faithful with the small things that I've given you. And without a doubt, there are defining moments when God makes his will absolutely clear. And maybe you're here this morning and that's something, you know, that's been bothering you. I want to know God's will. I wish you would just spell it out. I would do it. Really? You want to know God's will for you? Do you want to know? I'll tell you. Let's put it up on the screen. Here's God's will for your life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. There you have it. The struggle is over. You're welcome. God's will for you is to find something to be thankful about today. Right? To maintain that attitude of gratitude in every, you know, stupid, annoying, inconvenient, wasted circumstance of your life. Be thankful in every circumstance. See, my point is this. Most of the time that God is communicating with us, he's communicating, he's talking about his ways. So stop stressing so much about his will. Read the Bible. You're gonna get an idea of what his will is about, right? But his ways, see, here's where we mess up so often. Because we want to do it our way. We think that we could figure it out. I got this, God. We think, you know, we can just manipulate a situation into our favor. We think it doesn't matter if we compromise our character. It doesn't matter if I compromise my integrity. It doesn't matter if I lie or if I, you know, compromise my testimony or if I cheat or steal, or until we make absolute fools out of ourselves going after something that might be good, might even be his will, but we ruin it and we ruin our relationships and create havoc and chaos and drama because we did not know the way. And this is what Moses was praying for when he said, show me your ways. God was about to give his people a promise, but withhold his presence. And Moses knew that the real treasure was the presence, not the promise. And that's why he said, I don't want it if it means I don't have you. And this is what Jesus was showing his disciples as they gathered together for that last supper before he would be crucified. In these two moments, see, these two moments are connected because what Jesus and the disciples are eating is literally a remembrance of what was happening between Moses and God in the Exodus. God had delivered his people from a lifetime of slavery, and the miracles were about giving them so much more than just real estate. God brought them to the mountain to meet with him, to be with him, to hear his voice, and to know him, but they rejected him. And now here was Jesus, the Son of God, with his disciples in the room. And the Lord wraps a towel around his waist and washes their feet. And they eat the bitter herbs and the lamb and the bread. Freedom symbols in food of the reality that Jesus had come to bring. And Jesus came to set you free. Your sins are gone. His power breaks every addiction, breaks every bondage. Do I have a witness in the house this morning? His grace is greater than your past. His love will ruin you for all of the false loves of this world. He will carry you away with him to be with him in heaven. But did Jesus do all of these miracles and give his life on a cross just to get your feet onto streets of gold? No. He did it to give you something much better, to give you himself so that you would know the Father. And let me just say, if you're here because you want a ticket into heaven, you're missing it. You're missing out. You see, the disciples reveal this, that you can do things for God and not with God and not make it. You don't believe me? Check this out. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. We performed many miracles in your name. And he will say to those, go away, I never knew you. You see, those that are exclaiming this in Matthew 7, read it for yourself. They are on a highway to hell. They're doing good works, great works, miraculous works. They were not pursuing the person. They were not pursuing a relationship. They were not pursuing his ways. You can do things with God and miss the relationship and miss him. And I think this is what gets Thomas thrown off, right, in the conversation. And frankly, he's not the only one. I think he's just saying what the others are thinking, that the disciples don't even know that they know the way. They're missing it, and they don't even realize it. And isn't that true of us sometimes? Come on, let's be honest. You could see miracles and miss it. You can hear awesome truth day after day for years and miss him. You can come to church every week and volunteer and teach or sing on a platform or preach a sermon and miss him. The disciples lived with him for 3.5 years, and in this moment, they're missing him. They're missing it because proximity is not equivalent to intimacy. Thomas was just saying what everyone in the room was thinking. They were with Jesus, didn't get it. Why? I'll say it again. Proximity is not the same thing as intimacy. Married folks, you know what I'm talking about. Because you can live together, sleep together, raise kids together, pay bills together, but the intimacy, where did it go? Intimacy is a conversation, opening up your heart, being vulnerable, being transparent with another person. It's how you can even be unfaithful to your spouse without even sleeping with another person, right? When you begin a conversation and start opening up parts of yourself and your heart and give that to someone who doesn't belong to you. Giving yourself someone who has no promise to you, meanwhile, not giving that to your spouse. Just existing together, no intimacy. Just like marriage is not about the wedding. The ceremony, not a destination, right? The ceremony is a vehicle to that, right? And no, the destination is not the honeymoon either, guys. Though that was really awesome. That's not it. The destination is not a place. The destination is a person. You see, in marriage, the destination is the relationship. We get to grow old together, right? We get to spend the rest of our lives together as one person. And on our more real spiritual journey, the destination is not a place. It's him. It's God. The great I am, the Alpha and the Omega, the Almighty One. Unlimited perfection and holiness. The original person who created all the others, who created you. And he loves you desperately, and he wants nothing more than for you to live with him forever. And there's nothing better than to be with the one who loves you so completely. And on our journey to know God, Jesus is the way. On that trip to Connecticut, we needed to take stuff with us. You know, we needed to take, you know, underwear, socks, toiletries, toothpaste, right? All the stuff, identification, money, all the usual stuff that you pack. But we also had an unexpected item, right, on that journey. And life is going to give you some unexpected items to carry too, isn't it? Things that you did not plan for. Things that are out of your control. Things that stressed you out when you realized, oh, man, this might affect, you know, the way the whole thing goes, the experience. Look, on that trip, we were kind of chuckling about it, right, was the portrait, right, that we carried with us. But in life, maybe it's a health condition, for a report from the doctor. Maybe it's a legal battle that you did not foresee, or a financial problem, or something that someone did, and they came and they broke trust with you, and they broke your heart, and they hurt you. And the journey of your life has been affected by that thing, and you're carrying it with you. And there are some things that are beyond your ability to control. Mom said, look, take the portrait. So we're going to take the portrait, right? But you see, our decision was, number one, we're not going to do that alone. Like, my sister is with me, her brother is with her, right? And you have a whole room of a church family here, sitting here today to expose that lie when he comes to you and says, you're alone, no one cares. No, you're not. Decide to bring others into your life to encourage you and to help you, or to encourage someone else to help you decide not to let this thing ruin my trip. It's not going to do it. Instead, I'm going to embrace it. Right? Especially if you can't change it, you might as well just embrace it. You might as well laugh. You might as well have a sense of humor. Take a few photos on the way, right? Find some joy in the journey. Don't take yourself so seriously and laugh. Be able to laugh at how ridiculous the thing gets sometimes. And that's one of the reasons we love Dave Reaver when he comes on Memorial Day, right? You know Dave Reaver. He was wounded in Vietnam, scarred all over his body, beyond recognition. But what? He chose to laugh. He chose to use what was meant to destroy him. They tried to kill him, and now he uses it to help others. And so you make a decision. This is not going to be the thing that takes me out. It's not going to stop me from experiencing the presence of God in my life or to experience his will or his purpose for me. It's not going to keep me from his grace or his mercy or joy, because he can give you joy and peace beyond understanding. And it doesn't make sense. You shouldn't have it, but you do anyway, because Jesus. So when you're on that trip, you're going to have to take out some of the prohibited items on the way, right? Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. Speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we're all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling and slander with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So unpack all these things. Oh, that's heavy. Is your makeup in here, babe? Come on. Because you're going to get to a TSA checkpoint. Yes. You're going to travel somewhere, someone's going to check you out and what you're carrying with you. Oh, bricks. Good idea. Good thing to take with me. Oh, yeah. Lying. That can't come. Stealing. Nope. That's not going to work. Unwholesome talk. Nope. Can't take that with you. Bitterness. That's not going to work where you're going. Rage. Definitely not. You think you're coming into the presence of Jesus with all this anger? Nope. Brawling? No. Prohibited. Slander, definitely not in the presence of the king, or malice. No, see, all those things can't come with you on your journey. So my suggestion is we get rid of them on this side of the trip so that when we face that 2-ton angel, right, we don't get wanded on the way in. I think that's good advice. What about you? Give God some praise. They are making your journey painful and exhausting. Get rid of it. In fact, why don't you just get rid of the suitcase, right? Because that's just going to tempt you to take stuff that can't go on the journey. Because you just need one thing on this trip. Matthew 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. So first Jesus said, that you have to give up. Give up what? Your own way. So I'll just say it this way this morning. Give up on yourself. I should write a self-help book, right? That's going to be a big hit. Look out, Tony Robbins, because I'm getting the call from Oprah. I'm going to come on the network. She's going to have me talk about my book. Give up on yourself. No, it's probably not going to happen. Give up on your ways of doing things. God said, my ways are so much higher, you can't even wrap your brain around it. Give up on what seems right to you and take this. Just take this. It's all you need. There is one mandatory item that you must take with you on the way. Because on his way to purchase your salvation, Jesus picked up a cross. carried it. There are things that God allows in our lives that we would much rather avoid or run away from. But God uses them to work something greater in us because they are confronting and killing our character flaws. Sometimes God has to come and break me in order to fix me. It's not something that we shout about in church, but you know it's the truth. The truth is, if one sin is enough to separate us from God, then how many hells do we deserve for the mountains of sin in our lives? And God took all of that and he put it on Jesus on the cross. And the righteousness of Jesus was more than enough for all of it. And he is the one who said, "It is finished." And what he endured was shameful and brutal and public. And that's why there's no such thing as a private relationship with Jesus. He doesn't do relationships on the down low where nobody knows and you never discuss it. Because if you belong to him and you're walking in his way, you will talk about it. You will demonstrate it. Crazy things, weird things will spontaneously exhibit themselves in your life, like peace when everyone else is in a panic, patience when everyone else is in a hurry, love when that person did not earn it or deserve it. Self-control when everyone is telling you, go on, go get it for you, do for you, don't wait, just be happy. Because walking in his way and intimacy with him will produce all of those things. It's going to happen, and it's not going to be a secret, and you will talk about it. It doesn't matter what kind of personality type you are, because you talk about the stuff you love, and that's the truth. And when you love Jesus, you're going to talk about him. And here's the thing. You cannot carry all that baggage and the cross. It's too much to get your arms around all of it. You have to pick. I pick this. It's all I need. So when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be able to say, oh, I did all these things for you, because the truth is I didn't do anything. It was all you. It was all your power, and you deserve all of the credit and the glory for all of it, Jesus. All I have is this, and all I want is you. Jesus, you first, and you always, and you only. I got a call a couple of Saturday nights ago from my next door neighbor. Her mom was in hospice, and she was very near death. And so she asked if I would come. And, you know, they wanted last rites because she grew up Catholic, you know. She was like, would you come and read the Bible or do something, you know, with my mom? And praise God, you know, I didn't have an obligation that night, and so I was able to go and be with her mom. It was at a, you know, Italian family, so there was like, I don't know, 20 people there around her. And they didn't know me, and I didn't know them, right? I'm walking into the situation, like, this is my neighbor, and this is her mom, and I have one of those little, like, minister's manuals with the little services in it, and I'm like, yeah, nope, not going to use that. I'm just going to bring my Bible, and I'm going to talk about Jesus. We're going to get some crackers and some grape juice, and I'm going to share the gospel, and this, you know, lady who's about to pass, who knows you and believes in you, we're going to do communion in front of the whole family. And that's what we did. And she started to lose strength really fast. She was losing her strength. She was nodding while I was talking. And then she summons up all of her strength after we did the communion. Picks up the energy so her family could hear her say, "We need God. We can't do it without God." She wanted her family to know, right? She had come to one conclusion at the end. We can't make it without you. We don't even want to try to make it without you. Wherever you go, you can't make it without Jesus. And guess what? He's not following. He's leading. Jesus is the only way. And that's when I see people doing things apart from his ways, living outside of his presence, making decisions rooted in just whatever pleases them, not honoring him, his presence in his life. Then I can't say, oh, I'm so happy for you. I just want you to be happy. No, because I know that happiness is not where that road leads to. Yes. then there might be some pleasure in the moment, but happiness, not the destination on that trip. No, there's going to be torment and regret and anguish and emptiness, because in everything you do, you're with Jesus or you're without Jesus. Come on, let's stand up in his house together and honor his presence with us this morning.